And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and Nutjob Patty Fink. And
real Nutjob.
Crazy and Nutjob.
Crazy Nutjob.
Crazy Nutjob.
Real Nutjob.
Chub Butter and Chub Butter David.
Uh-huh. It is Nut Pledge Drive this week.
Yay! Woo.
But we didn't make our goal. So if you were waiting for this week to make your pledge, Josh is still here. Chris is here. They're working the board, but one of them can always answer the phone. Can't you, Josh and Chris?
Yeah.
Yes, he can. Lambda Weekly is one of the original shows on KNON. We're coming up on our 34th birthday this summer, and we appreciate it if you'll support Lambda Weekly the way the way KNON has supported the gay community. So if you'd like to make a pledge, just call in. Josh will take your call. And we're not going to do Pledge Drive all show.
I do want to give the number, though. 972-647-1893. 972-647-1893.
Good. Thank you. We're just going to talk a little bit about the news today. We're going to start with the gay, not with the Donald.
Yay. But we will get to him.
How can you avoid it?
I know.
I mean, with
I
all the crazy that's coming out of Washington, it's like it's a relief. He's out of the country. Yay.
Yay.
I've heard from like a couple of congressional staffers and stuff how stressful it is. You know, right now in D.C. on the Hill is... It's like from moment to moment, what's going to happen next?
I spoke to Eddie Bernice Johnson this week. She moved her office into my building, so when she's in town, I see her now. And she and her staffers, I said to them, so how's Donald doing? And she just said, oh, honey. And she's just standing there shaking her head. She said, let me show you my view. Because she's directly above me, but... she's high enough that she has a great view of downtown. We have signs in the way, but yeah, she has this great view, and she took us into her office, but she was just, oh, honey.
Yeah, that's about all you can do.
It's not even by the day. It's by the hour.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, something can happen in the morning, and you go, oh, wow, oh, really? And then by 2 o'clock, it's, holy crap.
Right.
And by 8 o'clock in the evening, it's another thing,
right.
You know?
Well, one of the things that, I guess it was on CNN, that they've discovered is that one of the things that comes out usually comes out just before the 5 o'clock news. So look for something right at the end of the day. That's their standard. Anyway, let's talk about a couple of other things. San Francisco may get its first gay mayor.
Say that again?
San Francisco may get its first gay mayor. Mark Leno, who is a state... I guess he's not in the state senate anymore. He's retired from the state senate because they have term limits. He was the first openly gay state assemblyman, first openly gay state senator, and now he wants to be San Francisco's first gay mayor.
Now, obviously, that's going to shock a lot of people because San Francisco is kind of known as kind of the gay capital of the world. Why is it taking so long to get a gay mayor?
You know what I think a number of things? I think when you have such a large gay population, you don't bother organizing the way Dallas does.
We almost have too many organizations.
You know, I was working on a story this week about the March on Washington that's coming up that nobody's heard of because they're not doing it like we do. We have a committee that is getting people there, and we have T-shirts made up for everybody to march together. People who are going to this march will meet at the Hilton Garden Inn downtown, and they will march together, and you will know Dallas is there. That's not quite... They don't even have a parade route yet. They don't have permits yet. They don't have... And it's like 3 weeks before this march.
Wow.
So it's not like the 1993 March on Washington that attracted a million people. And we were planning it for 2 years, I believe. We did not have an internet at the time. But
You know what?
You can't just rely on that.
The old school stuff, like index cards with people's names and
sometimes that
mailers and phone trees.
And the Dewey Decimal System.
Stuff, the Dewey Decimal System, all of that stuff, it's just tried and true, and you can't miss.
No.
And, you know, crowdsourcing and, you know, social media organizing is, I would say, a lesser quality. Because, you know, this thing is coming up June 11th.
So this March named 12 chairs, 12 diverse national chairs. They're mostly from Washington and New York City. One of them is from California. Now, the two most populous states are California and Texas, and number three now is Florida. If you want to get a national audience there, how about reaching out to, not just Southern California, but Northern California. How about somebody from Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, they probably could have found somebody who can do some organizing in Texas, you think? North Texas, anyway.
Probably.
Well, don't count on Houston. They're the ones with who had the gay mayor.
Well, but, you know, and let's talk about that in a second. But anyway, so getting back to San Francisco, why have they never had a gay mayor? Why has Dallas had more gay council people than they have? Because we're organized, because we were attacked and challenged when they came out with 14-1, the city council plan that would have 14 individual seats. They decided, let's divide Oakland right down the middle so we can never have a gay council person. And so we said, I don't think so. And we elected actually three that year, one from each of those districts and one from North Dallas. So three out of 14 were gay in their attempt to make sure we never had representation. And we've continued that until it wasn't that important for us anymore, because we were getting good representation from people like Angela Hunt and
Philip.
And
Valletta.
Garcia. So I think San Francisco just never organized and thought, well, we need gay representation here, because people don't know that the gay population is here in San Francisco. Everybody knew. So you had another idea, Patty.
Well, you know, I've seen some, read some pieces recently about progressivism and a lot of, there is a school of thought out there that San Francisco really isn't that progressive bastion that we all think it is. The cost of living, especially housing, to live in the city is just astronomical.
It literally is astronomical.
It's not a living, on a living wage, you can't live in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You just can't. I mean, people are, I had a long discussion on the train when we were in Canada with a guy who was living out in San Jose and Oakland across the bay. That even in those areas close to San Francisco, you can't get, and he says, I make a really good salary and I can't get a house by myself or an apartment by myself, because it's paying like $2,500 a month. And that's a chunk of change.
Yeah, it is.
You know, on a monthly basis. And
that's a normal Oaklawn rent now, though, for any of the new buildings. That's how much rents have gone up here in the last 2 years.
But in addition to that, I mean, so this is a progressive city that you can't afford to live in. And I'm talking about San Francisco. And the homelessness problem is, there are so many homeless that gravitate to San Francisco. It's just, it's tragic.
And, you know, I haven't been there, but from what I've read and heard, one of my cousins lives in San Francisco and or right outside of San Francisco. And Castro is not, it's really no longer the old school Castro. It's been gentrified big time.
It's pretty gentrified right there.
Or like, you know, what David says, it's been Oakland. So, I mean,
it's still a thriving community. And you could, it's visibly, you turn on to Castro, there's no question you're in the gay area, you know. But, you know, I don't know from if a person lives there, if they actively participate in the community in the Castro as a gay community.
Gotcha.
I think there are gay people and LGBT people all over that city, not just in the Castro. Kind of like we don't all live in Oakland.
Well,
right.
Of course. But you know what surprised me the last time I was there? I was driving around in an area that wasn't the Castro, and I was thinking, where are all the gay people? It surprised me how straight the city was. So, you know, maybe it's just silly for us to think that this major city that happens to have a large gay population would be this left-wing extremist whatever. They're not.
No,
they're just a normal city.
Yeah, in many ways. And to cut San Francisco a little slack, out of the top 10 cities in America, only one has ever had a gay mayor, and that is Houston. And San Francisco's not even a top 10 city.
Well, right. That's the next part of the news, is when we elect a gay mayor, we want to make sure it's the right one.
Right.
Seattle has a gay mayor. His name is Ed Murray. And he is being hounded out of office right now. Here's what the New York Times had to say about it today. Four men have come forward in court filings or interviews and said that when they were teenagers in the 1980s, under the age of legal consent, Mr. Murray had paid for sex with them.
Oh, geez.
So he's called the accusations untrue. This has not gone to court yet, so we don't know what happened. But filing a court filing or having a deposition is pretty serious.
Yeah.
The law firm that's representing one of the men has a history of homophobia, according, and that's the New York Times saying this. So is it politics and just really, really dirty politics, or did we just not elect the right gay person? Did we not throw our support behind the right person? It's important to have gay people elected. It's important to have black people and Hispanic people and Native American people and Asian people and
of course
Christians and Jews and Muslims and everybody elected, because that's who we are. But they need to be the right ones. It needs to be, you know, people without sex scandals, people without, you know, who don't record as they're getting off a bus that they grabbed a woman's, you know.
Right.
Sorry, which is not Ed Murray, that's somebody else.
That's our president, yeah. Let's put it out there. The president of the United States.
Anyway, okay.
Who, by the way, bowed in curtsy to the king of Saudi Arabia yesterday.
We'll talk about
Obama. Yeah, we'll get that.
Okay, so you said, what about Anise in Houston?
Mm-hmm.
How did she get elected in a much less progressive city, or a city that's perceived as much less progressive? What do you think?
I think she
and in a city that's, I'm saying, is not as organized. as a gay community.
Right, oh, you mean.
Although Houston is a pretty active LGBT population. It really does. I think it's because she paid her dues.
That's what I think.
She started out, you know, and, you know, worked for the city, got elected to the city early on, did, you know, countless terms of
office.
Okay,
she was elected 3 terms to city council, which is the max in Houston, 3 terms as comptroller, which is the second in command in Houston, mm-hmm. And then 3 terms as mayor. So she was elected 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm agreeing with you that she paid her dues, but also she never emphasized the gay.
It's true.
Asked her a question about, like, Anise, how is your being gay going to affect the election? And her answer was, you know, David, that's a very interesting question, but we have a flooding problem down in the south side of Houston, and we need to actually tackle that problem because, and she'd go on, and by the time she's finished, she's looking at your face as she's doing it, and she's decided, okay, he's forgotten what he asked in the first place, and I've completely confused him. She would acknowledge that she was gay, and she did not run on that issue at all.
Yep.
Houston is organized politically. The Houston Gay Political Caucus, she was president of it for a while,
mm-hmm.
And that's a very strong organization. And that's part of how she got elected, I think. But she's just smart.
Very smart. And I think in paying your dues, when you're in front of the public that often, 3 terms on council, 3 or 4 as comptroller, and then you try to run for mayor. People know who you are.
It's
they
not
have
like,
watched the news
right.
for years, you know, in the evenings, and then you're going to be like a quote, a quick soundbite from you when they see your face. They know your name. They read it in the paper. You know, they.
It's also.
It's
not like she's a stranger.
Well,
by any stretch.
It's a large city. I mean, over 3 million people. almost three times the size of just the city of Dallas, not the metropolitan area, but city of Dallas. City of Houston is almost three times larger. But after six terms in office, people know you personally. And she's very sweet. She's very personable.
She is.
So there's that. And that helped her, of course, get elected. And I think because of the way Texans are, we're polite, and in most cases, we don't talk about certain things. And if she didn't want to talk about it, other people weren't going to talk about it, and they were perfectly happy not to talk about it. That was part of it in her, especially her first election. Second election, I think she didn't have a major opponent. Third election, she had some. But by then, she was just a good mayor and doing a good job, and people aren't going to vote out somebody doing a good job necessarily.
And she won her elections pretty handily.
She did.
You know, different elections are different. This is a good example of, we have somebody running for city council, openly gay Omar Narvaez, District 6, running against Monica Alonso. His issues in his district have to do with housing, has to do with infrastructure, has to do with the poorer population that was in West Dallas that's being forced out. That he's accusing
displaced.
And he's accusing Monica Alonso, the incumbent, of not doing anything for them, being in the pockets of the developers, basically. So, again, he's taking a neighborhood stance. And is he openly gay? Sure, he works for Lambda Legal. He, you know, but that's how he's running that election. You know, and I've mentioned in the Dallas Voice that, you know, I said in liberal Houston we elected, but in conservative San Francisco, you know. But one of the things I mentioned was, and we have two openly transgender officials in Collin County, liberal Collin County. again, there's been one in Anna, one in Melissa, I believe, and there's been really no blowback against them. Basically because they've been in the job, they're doing a good job, people know them, and they came out as being transgender earlier this year. And it just hasn't been important to anybody. We're out of time for this first segment.
We did take a break, I know. But when we come back, talking about these, what is progressive city and what is not, a new list is coming out. We'll talk about it when we come back. The most LGBTQ-friendly cities in every red state in America. So let's see who won here in Texas.
This is Rawlins Gelland, and I'm listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3. And darn glad to be doing it.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Crazy Lauren Landis and Nutjob Patty Fink. we are just talking a little bit about the news. This would have been the third week of Pledge Drive, but we made our goal by Friday, so we're not having Pledge Drive. But if you were waiting to pledge to Lambda Weekly, we didn't make our personal show goal. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. We're not doing a big pledge drive if you just turned in. I'm just saying if you'd like to make a pledge to us, we would appreciate it if you pledged. Send your pledge in so that we get credit for it. Or you can go online to KNON.org. Especially if you're listening online, just click that Pledge Now button, and you can pick your pledge premium, all that stuff.
You can see your pledge premiums right there.
Right. Lauren.
So before the break, we said there's a new list out. This one is by Travel.com. It's the most LGBT-friendly cities in every red state.
Okay.
So we're a red state.
We are.
So who do you think won?
In Texas?
In Texas. Just the top.
Plano.
No, Houston. Houston, and they say.
And do you know what my real guess would have been?
What?
Austin.
That was my pick. But no, they say Houston's gay community is uncommonly intertwined with the organizing and governance. In 1978, Houston had its own Stonewall level event, which created Town Meeting One. The city also had an openly gay mayor and as well as an out city council member and an openly gay DA. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And they say
but Austin did too. Rosemary.
Oh really?
What's her last name?
Lembeck. Lembeck.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which she was openly gay, and, right. And you know Margot Kirkpatrick mm-hmm. was it Margot Kirkpatrick? No, Margot was the sheriff in Travis County years ago.
And they have another woman sheriff now.
I think the gay mayor thing pretty much topped them over, but they also list a bunch of. They say Houston has more gay groups than any other state, any city in the state.
Wrong.
So no. I don't know if they're true or not.
No.
But that's what they say.
So what are the other four cities in Texas?
But yeah, an honorable mention, Dallas, Austin, and El Paso.
Okay.
Right, but that's only three. Is it top five?
No. This is the only city who made the top city in every red state.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They gave us an honorable mention. We have Dallas, more groups.
They gave Dallas an honorable mention.
We have more gay groups than every other city put together. Houston does not have more gay groups than we do.
Yeah. Who did this list?
It's travel.com.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. Okay, so what are a couple of the other states?
Let's see here.
Mississippi.
I got to scroll down and find it. South Carolina is Columbia.
Yeah, how about Louisiana?
Hold on, I got to get to it. North Carolina. Who do you? It's there.
Charlotte.
Greensboro.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Louisiana.
Hold on. Let me get the Mississippi.
Jackson.
Yes, you're right. Jackson. Yep. So it's interesting.
Yeah, what's the only liberal city in Mississippi?
Like in Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even ever heard of it. Sagatuck and Douglas?
Yeah.
You mean not Detroit?
No.
No, I wouldn't even pick Detroit. I would pick something like Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm. Because the university there. Mm-hmm. But Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Okay, hold on. Let me find it. Sorry, my phone is going slow. I'm sure it's got to be.
Starts with an L.
Yes. No.
With an M.
Okay.
Well, it's a city, though.
Yeah. It's a city. It's New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. I was going to say, really? What else could it be?
Could be Shreveport.
I guess.
No.
I'm thinking not.
No.
You know, as Erin puts it, and she's a native of Louisiana. She says that Shreveport in northern Louisiana is just more East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty true.
So.
Yeah. Interesting list.
Yeah,
Patty.
We have an urgent issue in our state this afternoon. So if you're listening right now, this afternoon, there's something you can do to help prevent bigotry getting codified in law today. And that is there's a House bill that's up. 2078, the Senate bill. It comes back to the House to get approved. So SB 2078 that's going to be voted on this afternoon. And word is that it's a school safety bill, like physical safety. And they're going to tack on, word is that the Texas GOP in the House is going to tack on a bathroom bill that will affect trans school kids across our state. And allow them to be discriminated against where they live.
So it's just for school kids.
Just for school kids. So do something. Be part of the solution. Don't sit at home and not do anything. You can make your call to your House rep. You can also go to Who Represents Me. You can Google that. Who Represents Me in Texas. It's FYI.legis, which is legislature, legis.state.tx.us. But just Google that, who represents me in the Texas legislature. And they'll pull up a thing, you can put in your street address and they can tell you who represents you in the House. They'll give you their phone numbers. You call, and express how you feel.
Specifically, what's different about this bill than the other one, other than you said it is special towards school children. So does it say school children must go to the bathroom what's on their birth certificate or something like that?
It does, and it prevents the schools from defining policies that would allow a transgender school kid to go to a bathroom that they identify with.
You know, the Fort Worth policy that was so controversial, basically what that policy said was you're not going to have a lot of transgender kids in each school. You're going to have one maybe two. Work it out.
Yeah.
That was the Fort Worth policy that was so controversial. If a transgender kid wants to go into the public bathroom of their birth sex or their the sex that they identify as, if they would like a private bathroom, like in the nurse's office, fine. If other students aren't comfortable with that, they can go into the private bathroom themselves, fine. It just said, work it out. It's not that difficult.
And most districts have worked it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that those districts immediately jumped and said, we must discriminate against this kid and ostracize this kid and set up this kid to be bullied. They don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and jurisdictions all over the state have just taken care of it. They've just worked it out.
You know, schools in Dallas are doing that. It's just
schools
for
in Austin are doing that?
Oh, sure. It's just that in Fort Worth, that became their policy. That was a national lightning rod. What do you mean that this kid can? But the bathroom bill that's going through has nothing to do with malls and libraries and government offices and any. It's just schools.
And those facilities within schools.
It's just kids that we're not worried about.
And what really, really ticked me off this week was that Dan Patrick, our lieutenant governor, and in the state of Texas, the lieutenant governor really has an enormous amount of power. Being governor has some power, but really who drives the state is the lieutenant governor. Structurally, just in the way it's built. And he had a press conference this week and basically said, there are two things that the legislature must do by law. They must pass a budget, and they must pass the sunset bill that authorizes the existence of agencies, or the continuation of the existence of agencies that handle Texas stuff, right? And those are the two things that they're required to do. And he said that he's not going to allow the sunset bill to come for a vote in either chamber, or I guess in the Senate, until we get some kind of bathroom bill. He said he didn't care if it was SB 6 or if it was the Souther 2899 that got killed in committee. He wanted some kind of bathroom bill. So, I mean, this is like the most bigoted statement I think he could possibly make.
I was about
make.
To say.
What he said, some kind of bathroom bill.
What he said was, I hope we don't have to have a special session for the two most important issues facing us.
Yep.
One of them was, I forgot what, whether it's the budget or something. The other one is transgender people using bathrooms.
That's the most
That's
important,
the most
issue.
Important yes. issue facing us.
It was disgusting. It was so disgusting where he said, I'm going to hold up this bill and not allow the mandatory, mandated in law thing that the legislature must do. I'm going to hold this bill up until this gets passed. And so if it doesn't, until a bathroom bill happens, so he's going to keep having sessions until he gets a bathroom bill, mm-hmm. is basically what he said. And freaking Abbott is in agreement with him.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, he's, and when did Texas become so anti-business? You know, the business community has stood together unwaveringly against this kind of crap, and you know these guys are pushing back against business interests in this state in order to discriminate.
Speaking of,
all for the purpose of discriminating.
Speaking
against
of that word kids. That you just said, you know that abortion bill that was declared unconstitutional, or abortion law was signed into law. It was finally found unconstitutional last summer, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new one.
Yep.
The Texas House voted 96-47 on Friday to ban a commonly used second trimester abortion procedure known as dilation and evacuation. It's also used in miscarriages.
Yes.
Right.
If you have a miscarriage, you have a dilation and evacuation. If you perform this as a doctor, you will be subject to felony charges.
That's insane. That's really insane.
Wow.
If you have an abortion or a miscarriage, you have to do this or you will become sterile.
And could possibly
die.
You could die. Right.
That's sepsis. That too. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. You have to remove it.
Mm-hmm. If you have a miscarriage and there is unliving tissue in your uterus,
exactly,
and it stays there, it will become septic and it can kill you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what dilation and evacuation, you evacuate the uterus. properly so that there's no lingering tissue. It's the same with if you left some placenta behind.
Exactly.
Well, now that's going to be a felony in Texas. Wow. This law has already been found unconstitutional in Alabama. So we're behind Alabama.
They're going to tie up Texas taxpayer resources to defend these bills that will be overturned.
Right. Kansas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. So four of our most progressive states
that passed this bill, and it got
and it's been found unconstitutional.
Wow!
What are they thinking?
They're not.
They're not thinking. And get this: our own Victoria Niave, guest on our show not all that long ago, and hopefully many times in the future.
Mm-hmm.
She passed a bill this past week that was a phenomenal bill. You know, there's an enormous backlog of rape kits. In this state, women have reported rapes. They've had rape kits completed, and those rape kits are just sitting there.
Yeah, not being tested.
It's not being tested. They don't have the money for it. They've never appropriated the money because you know what? It's not a priority for these old white guys in Austin, and it's just disgusting. There are people who've been raped, and those rapists are still out there. And she passed a bill that passed in the Texas House, 150 people. By voice vote, and it passed in the United States, the Texas Senate by 29-1. We'll get back to the one in a second, but it's a bill that would allow when you go renew your driver's license at any DMV in Texas, you have the option of contributing a dollar toward paying for the testing of these things. And so it's not even mandating; it's not a tax. It's an opportunity that your dollar would go directly toward the testing and to catch up on this backlog. And they estimate that it would raise about $1 million a year, you know, because not everybody who drives gets their license renewed every single year.
No,
you know. It's just all staggered. And so, but about $1 million a year and finally get some movement on these rape kits, right? So
that
there can
awesome.
Be some justice for people. And it passed. I mean, virtually unanimously. The one vote against it was my senator.
Really?
Bob Hall. Yes.
Why is he against it? Did he even say?
No. He's just that misogynistic.
Wow.
You know, he's just that bigoted, that backward, and that misogynistic. Truly. I can't stand it.
That's grotesque.
It is. Why would you vote against this?
Why would you vote against that?
For a person to pay a dollar to help this along. It's crowdsourcing, and it's a shame. It's a pathetic shame in our state that we have to crowdsource getting rape kits tested. But don't deny the opportunity to do that. You know?
Do other states have backlogs in these too, do you know?
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just a Texas
problem. It's a pervasive male.
I hear New York has a pretty bad backlog of rape kits. Hmm.
If it were a crime, an intimate crime against a man in this state, it'd be first right up. I mean, that's why they couldn't care less about female contraception, but by golly, they're getting their Viagra and their Cialis paid for. I mean, it's we see it everywhere.
And what's really sad about it is, you know, a lot of people are confused why some women don't come forward when they are raped. Well, here's women who obviously have come forward. They've done, you know, and it's a very invasive process to be, you know, to be tested, you know, for
to
DNA,
collect all of that,
to collect all the DNA evidence. Very invasive, and they've done that, and yet the evidence is just sitting there.
So yes.
How much does it cost to test a rape kit? Do you know?
It depends on how much available. I mean, there's 10 items to complete. Not all 10 can be collected, mm-hmm. depending on the situation with the crime. But it can cost anywhere from, I think, $50 to $1,000 to do testing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All the testing that might be available.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because if you have samples from a lot of different...
pieces of clothing and other things. Yeah, yeah.
Saliva, those sorts of things, then you have a lot of testing to do. So it's not trivial, the cost, but it's never been a priority. It's never been a priority in Austin, mm-hmm. and it never will be. I mean, they're like, okay, well, if people want to pay for that, then they go ahead. I mean, it's not a priority, and it's offensive. It's offensive
it
to
really
women.
Is.
Because if it had happened to you, if Bob Hall, you had been raped violently and had the guts, because you don't have the guts, but if you had the guts to step forward and seek filing charges, having an investigation, and charging someone and getting a conviction. You would be offended if somebody says, nah, we don't care about you. Let's just put that on a shelf in the basement and not look at it.
Yeah, it's almost just like,
if it comes up later, maybe we will, maybe we won't. I don't know. You know,
it's like going through the motions for nothing.
Do they test the ones where they've caught somebody?
I don't know all the ins and outs of
testing. I'm just wondering, because I know of some that have been tested and in different cases that I've heard.
I'm just wondering, it's a baseline.
I'm not saying it's good that you pick and choose. I'm just saying, how do they choose? Is that's terrible?
I think this is going to go back to the longest ones to get them tested, because remember, there's statute of limitations even on rape. Mm-hmm. Rape under the American Health Care Act, the Republicans have put through the House and in the United States Congress, calls rape and sexual assault a pre-existing condition, and they can charge you 5 times more if a woman's been raped.
Get out of here.
No, seriously, that's in the list of pre-existing conditions. It's we're furious, and these are old white guys, and there's even a discussion in the Congress about whether they old white guys have actually said these words: I shouldn't have to pay for women's health issues. And contraception, if I'm not going to use it. And pregnancies.
Because we're pro-life.
Then we shouldn't have to pay. Yeah, exactly. I should not have to pay for your Cialis? Because you have broke dick, as one sex.
And we shouldn't have to pay because you
I don't
want to
pay the 1% loophole for the rich people to get,
and
tax
credit. You and I shouldn't have to pay for Laurent's kids' education.
Right. I don't want to pay for a war.
Except, you know what? I think it's good that other people in this city and in this country know how to read.
I think that's important too. If I'm working alongside them,
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink, and we will be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Valletta Lil, and I listen to Lambda Weekly. I hope that you will too.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. And Laurent, what's going on in Portugal?
Portugal, Jess, I think this is great. Let's file this under United States, look at other countries, and take some of the good things that they're doing. Portugal just banned surgeries on intersex babies. Completely banned it.
What's the issue there?
The issue is, a lot of times they will, quote unquote, correct the surgery because intersex genitalia isn't clear. It's not necessarily.
That's not necessarily true, but.
No, that's what intersex. That's what they're talking about.
But intersex may be internal organs.
I know, but that's what they're talking about.
Right.
Clear, intersex genitalia that's not clear.
Ambiguous genitalia.
So they'll quote unquote fix it.
And choose one.
And. So a lot of times, incorrectly choose one. So, because when these individuals grow up, they'll be like, no, I actually feel like I'm female or male. So they are banning that. And another...
In other words, they're going to wait and let the kid decide.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As they should. So, and another issue is, these surgeries cause a lot of, really bad scarring. They can also cause... infertilization. So,
Infertility.
Infertility.
Infertilization is a good word, too. you don't want to do an operation on a baby if you don't have to.
Exactly.
Here's the thing with intersex kids. If they're not having if they have some sort of anatomical issue that prevents them, the ability to pee properly and stuff, that needs to be addressed.
Right.
But otherwise, that's a parent's, that's other people and doctors stepping in going, and this talk about assigned at birth by other people. There's a bunch of people getting together and deciding what's going to happen to this kid's life.
Right.
That the kid needs to decide. And if there's no reason to decide right now, mm-hmm. let the kid get older and say, and a lot of times these kids, when they're allowed to make their own decision, they say, you know what? I'm happy being me. I don't want to change. Mm-hmm. I don't want a surgery at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just live my life as I am, mm-hmm. because I'm proud to be me. This is who I am.
I think this is probably, in my opinion, one of the best arguments for a legal third gender. Because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you just don't know. And like Patty said, they're unless there's like a medical reason why it needs to be corrected, sometimes things are like, yeah, I'm fine, leave it alone.
Nepal. The country of Nepal has a third gender.
Germany has
a third gender.
Yeah.
You know, there's a recognition of mm-hmm. reality here. Right. That the United States is so far behind them.
Right, they really are. As you were mentioning earlier, yes, sometimes there's some internal issues, but this is just talking about the appearance of the genitalia.
But you wouldn't see those internal things.
Exactly, you wouldn't see those. Exactly.
But if it causes a problem, like you said, Patty, they'd be corrected then. But that's for a medical reason, right. Not for a...
Yeah, medical reason.
You know, not for an appearance reason.
You know, and I was living... I tell this to classes out at the police academy and DFR sometimes about... I used to work in a neonatal ICU in West Texas. We were level 3, and it was very active. We served 17 counties. And the neonatologist there would there was a baby that came that was admitted, and they had some sort of issue and had a skin tag on their ear. I mean, it's a benign kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She would immediately get an ultrasound of the kidneys because they grow at the same time. And you can only see, say, half or a third of what might be really happening in someone's body.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not unusual to find that a kid might be intersex. Mm-hmm. You know, that they have internal organs that mismatch what's going on the outside and what people can see, or chromosomally or hormonally.
Right.
There's lots of things going on that doesn't necessarily mean between your legs.
What percentage?
Josh asked me before the store, what are the numbers on it? How common is it? According to this, a study conducted in the year 2000, one in every 1,000 births, there's an intersex individual.
That's a lot. It's more than what people think.
And it's not a trivial number. Mm. There's a lot of people that have issues, and to me, it's no different than what we deal with in the trans community is dealing with. You know, there's a physical expression of it in intersex people that gender is maybe fluid for them.
Right.
Mm. They're not strictly male and not strictly female, and that's not unheard of or a far throw to what trans people experience and navigate through their lives, that their bodies don't match.
And in some cases, they're not XY or XX. There's some chromosome difference there, too.
And sometimes...
That caused the... I don't want to call it an abnormality. Caused the difference from the norm.
And
it's not an abnormality.
And sometimes, you know, I read a story about this woman who had, you know... the appearance of a normal vagina. She never knew until she went and got some DNA testing done that she was intersex. She had no idea.
This happened to the LGBT liaison officer for the Atlanta Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
She was an out lesbian with a partner, had gotten pregnant, gave mm-hmm. birth to mm-hmm. a son. Son's older now. He's like in college. And she had some medical reason to get some DNA testing and found out she's intersex.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so you could go your whole life and you never know.
Exactly.
Right.
And so there's that, and there's you know, many people who are trans are also intersex. And there's an alignment there of commonality and a common fight to get people educated. That is, I think we need to talk about both communities and thus.
So do we need to get Dan Patrick involved so that we can get a fourth bathroom?
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. And urgently, like, and we're gonna have a special session until we get one.
You know, Aaron, I'm going back to the bathroom bill. Something that, you know, you said, you know, some students, the few that there are, trans students, you know, they might have to go to the nurse's bathroom or so forth. I still have a problem with that because
I do too.
Who wants to be singled out? Like, every time we go to the bathroom, I have to go down the hall, up the stairs, depending on how big the school is, to go to the special bathroom.
Well, but Fort Worth's solution was, if you would like a special, you know, your own private bathroom, very often it's in the nurse's office. It's not in every school. But if that's the solution you choose because you want the private bathroom and that's the only place there is one, that's available. But the thing with Fort Worth also was, if you don't want to go into the regular boys' room or girls' room because you're afraid there might be a transgender person in that bathroom, you too can go to that bathroom. So it's not singling them out. That's what was nice about that. I agree with you. But you would choose to go to the bathroom of your choice.
Now, I've been in female ladies' restrooms, and they all have stalls. I don't think I've ever been to a woman's restroom that doesn't have a stall. All men's restrooms do not. It could be an open urinal, and maybe one commode over to the side or something. So specifically with the ladies' restrooms, I don't understand this thing about privacy, because you already have it.
Exactly.
You go into an individual stall and shut the door.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly. And unless you're Elaine Bennis and, Sparrow Square on Seinfeld, that's the only kind of conversation women have in restrooms, really, about being in the bathroom.
Right,
sometimes two women will come in and they'll already be in conversation, and they'll both go into stalls and they'll continue their conversation, whatever they were talking about. And then they'll both come out continuing to talk about whatever they were talking about, wash their hands, and leave, still talking about whatever they were talking about. That happens.
You have no idea what she was doing in there. You don't need to know.
Exactly.
It's your own individual private stall.
I know what she was doing in there. She was peeing.
Well, you never know.
You never know. We don't need to know. So, yeah.
Okay, so I have a new topic. Nevada. Republican legislature, Republican governor, they passed and signed into law a law banning conversion therapy in the state.
Good for them.
And I think it's nice to point out, Republican legislature, Republican governor, and they did the right thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they get it. They said this is really horrific torture for kids.
Right. It just shows that we really do need two parties, and that's a state where they have reasonable two parties. It passed with bipartisan support, but they worked together. They got this through, and the governor, his name is Brian Sandoval, he signed it without any – I mean, I – got this. It's not like it was all over all the news because it's, so radical. I found it in a gay paper from Out West, and I forgot which one. But so it was news, but it wasn't this big news. They passed a bill that made sense, had nothing to do with bathrooms. It just has to do with protecting kids.
From really, really horrible.
From something that can be very
treatment.
Damaging.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The way a bathroom bill can cause all kinds of damage.
Do you think that the Republicans who did the right thing in this case, do you think there's a growing consensus even among them that, look, being gay or lesbian is really not something that can change, and therefore you think that's being more accepted?
Even if
they disagree with it, but there, you think that that is start to be more accepted?
Sure.
Because if that's the case, why are you putting this kid through this?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of people who are pretty reasonable and have what we call empathy. And there are many Republicans who don't get it until someone in their family, like their child, comes out as gay or trans. And then suddenly it's an issue for them, and they can either step up and be a human being, or they become an a-hole.
Yeah.
And we've seen both.
Yeah,
we've seen both happen. And apparently, those in Nevada, Bravo Nevada, get for, putting it together as empathy and being human. Because who knows how many people in that legislature might have.
And reading studies that show that this is damaging.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Every study shows this is damaging to people.
But see, my point is we can say that in Texas, and it would bounce off them.
Mm-hmm.
Facts like that.
Right.
It's all about how you feel, what your gut feeling is.
What happened to the time when people just used to investigate things, do research on things that they're just not really aware of?
And find facts.
Find facts.
Not make up their own, quote, facts.
Right.
Yeah. That's why Trump has been so damaging.
Let's go back to our legislature. Two transportation bills. One passed, one didn't. The one that passed is funding driverless cars.
Oh, jeez.
The one that didn't pass is funding a bullet train from Dallas to Houston.
Oh, that failed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I was actually kind of looking forward to
it. I was really in the House.
Oh.
The liberal body of our legislature.
The relatively liberal. It's not a liberal. Well, by any stretch.
I'm comparing them to the Senate. Yeah. So the bullet. I think the bullet train is going to be built. It'll be built with private funds. Mm-hmm. The state will step in at some point.
Unless they try to stop it. You know, but I think a bullet train. They get one from here to Houston. We can go for the day and come home.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the whole I-35 corridor. You know, Austin, San Antonio, mm-hmm. even go to
Corpus.
Corpus to
it should be Dallas,
Del Rio,
Dallas, Waco, Austin, Dallas, Waco, Austin,
San Antonio,
Corpus. That's it.
Or down truly into the valley, not swinging over to the coast.
Well, bigger city and it's close. It's like 75 miles further, something like that.
We're just that backwards.
Bullet train would do a lot for development.
It would.
It's a very pro-business thing to have this bullet train, but nope.
There was a new poll out this week by the public policy polling that showed that 48% of the country favors impeaching Trump. But one of the most impressive things, I think, is that they put together some hypothetical Democrats, and right now just the generic Democratic ticket in Congress crushes the Republicans. So if the election of 2018 were held today, Democrats would take both chambers handily.
If people went out and voted.
I was about to say, you know what, I'm done with polls after this election. Can we really trust polls?
But they threw out some Democrats, and they also threw in The Rock. If The Rock ran for president.
I saw that.
Well, he's been talking about it.
He has been. And he actually did last night on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. His running mate will be Tom Hanks. It'll be Johnson Hanks 2020. The Rock would crush Trump. The Rock, if a new election were held today, The Rock could beat Trump.
Unless Trump has paper.
Again, if people got out to vote.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things wrong with our elections. I love the Australian system. If you don't vote, you receive a fine.
Yep, and it's mandatory voting.
Yep.
Every person must vote. It's like, get your vote in. Mm-hmm. It's by mm-hmm. law.
There are a couple of exceptions if you're in the hospital, a couple of other things like that. The reasonable exceptions.
What's the legal voting age over there when you start the vote?
I think 18.
18?
Okay. I think so. But, yeah.
The other thing that's has come out of this poll is that there are, by an 8-point margin, 49-41, voters wish Hillary Clinton was president instead of Trump.
They should have voted for her.
Exactly. Including 10% of Trump voters.
Yeah, well,
losing support.
They should have voted for her.
A 16-point margin, 55-39, voters wish Barack Obama was still president of the United States instead of Trump, including 13% of Trump voters would rather have Barack Obama back.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the stuff circulating this week. I posted that on my page about, remember the scandals under Obama? He was criticized for chewing gum, and he wore that tan suit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Obama is the only president that under his administration didn't have anybody indicted
mm-hmm.
or convicted.
Of any crime.
Of anything. I mean, it was 0-0-0 all the way across since the Carter administration, I believe it was.
There were a couple under Clinton.
Back to the Nixon administration.
Yeah, there were a couple of them from
Everyone. Everyone except for Obama. That's mm-hmm. the only one that had no indictments, no convictions, nothing.
So what do you all think about, I think his name is Al Green from Houston.
Oh, love Al Green.
Love Al Green.
Al Green is getting death threats right now.
Really?
Al Green was threatened with lynching.
For those who don't know, Al Green became the first, at least elected official that I know of.
First congressperson
to officially call for the impeachment of President Trump.
Maxine Waters has been talking about it.
She has. But he did it on the floor.
Yeah, I don't think she did it on the floor. She did it on news outlets.
Exactly. But, and so I was like, finally.
The morning news quoted several of the phone messages that he got. You ain't going to impeach nobody, you expletive. Try it and we'll lynch all you expletive N-word and you'll be hanging from a tree.
Wow.
That's what somebody called a congressman to say.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, you can disagree. You disagree with your state senator.
Oh,
you're not
everything.
Sending him, you're not sending him death threats.
No, I'm not. Oh, what I am saying is we're going to kick your butt out next year.
We're going to put up a good candidate and we're going to get rid of you. That's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable. You know, you try to impeach Trump, we're going to put somebody up who will beat you.
Yep.
And that's completely reasonable. Another one said, we've got an impeachment for you and it's going to be yours. We'll give you a short trial before we hang you. N-word.
Wow.
Of course, they're going to tack on the N-word to all of these.
Well, it just shows who's
of course
making these calls.
Absolutely.
You know, so. We are out of time. Next week, our guest is Josh Kogan. He is with the Mayor's Task Force working on LGBT teen homeless issues, and he has a real interesting story. We'll see you then. Have a good week for all of us from at Lambda Weekly. We'll see you next week.